Welcome to the Nowercast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and today we've got a lineup that really probes the boundaries of how artificial intelligence is integrating into our daily workflows and our personal hardware.
That's right. You know, there's this unwritten rule in software development that if an application wants to take up a massive chunk of your hard drive, say 4 gigabytes, it should probably ask for your permission first. But it seems like the frantic race to put AI on absolutely every device is rewriting some of those basic rules of software etiquette. We're currently seeing major tech companies push massive models directly to your local machine, completely under the radar.
It's a fascinating shift in how we think about local storage and consent. And speaking of AI overstepping its bounds, we're also going to look closely at what happens when developers give autonomous agents a little too much runway. It turns out, if you leave a destructive API endpoint exposed and undocumented, an AI assistant won't hesitate to wipe your entire production database.
Yes, the perils of vibe coding. It's an incredibly revealing look at where the responsibility actually lies when an AI makes a catastrophic mistake, and why we can't just blame the algorithm when our systems fail.
We've also got a packed roundup today. We'll be touching on the current state of asynchronous Rust and why some engineers feel it's stuck in an MVP state, a really cool open source project for training your own language model from scratch, and why cloud code might need to start wearing a wristwatch.
It's a lot of ground to cover, touching on everything from local resource management to the fundamental safety of AI coding tools. Let's get right into it.
We're starting today with a story that's been making significant waves across both the privacy and development communities. If you use Google Chrome, which statistically speaking most of our listeners do, there is a very good chance that the browser has quietly downloaded a 4 gigabyte file onto your machine, completely in the background, without any notification.
Yeah. If you dig into your system files, this payload is called weights.bin, and it's being dropped into a directory named OptGuide on-device model. What this actually is the raw weight file for Gemini Nano. That is Google's on-device, small-scale, large language model, which is designed to power new built-in browser features, like text summarization, translation, and writing assistance.
Now, the issue here isn't necessarily the features themselves. In fact, on-device AI processing actually has some really significant privacy advantages over the traditional cloud model. If your browser can summarize a sensitive document locally without sending all your text to a Google server, that's a massive win for data security. The controversy is entirely about the distribution method. There is no explicit opt-in, there's no simple UI toggle in the standard settings, and absolutely no notification that Chrome is suddenly consuming 4 gigs of your local storage and the associated bandwidth required to download it.
And users are finding that if they discover this file and manually delete it to free up space, Chrome just silently re-downloads it the next time it updates or launches. The only way to actually stop it currently is to dig deep into the internal Chrome flags menu, or if you're on a managed machine, use enterprise policy settings. For the average non-technical user, this installation is essentially forced.
Which brings up a massive debate about user consent and resource management. 4 gigabytes might not seem like a big deal if you're sitting on a top-of-the-line desktop with a 2 terabyte solid-state drive, but think about the global user base. For someone on a cheaper laptop with maybe 128 or 256 gigs of storage, which is incredibly common in schools and enterprise environments, taking 4 gigs without asking is a huge imposition. It can actually degrade the performance of the machine if the drive is near capacity.
Not to mention the bandwidth consumption. Distributing a 4 gigabyte file to Chrome's active user base, which is well over 3 billion devices worldwide, is a staggering amount of data transfer. The environmental impact of mass distributing that much data, utilizing content delivery networks and server farms globally, just so people can have an AI summarize a web page locally, is definitely something critics are pointing out.
You know, it's a really interesting tension in the current tech landscape. On one hand, the industry is pushing hard for local AI. We've talked before about the benefits, like lower latency, the ability to use features offline, and keeping user data out of the cloud. But vendors seem so eager to bootstrap this ecosystem and achieve a critical mass of adoption that they're skipping the basic user agency steps. They want the install base immediately, rather than waiting for users to opt in.
Right. it feels like a violation of the implicit contract between a user and a web browser. Historically, a browser is supposed to be a relatively lightweight portal to the web. Obviously, they've gotten heavier over the years, but when it suddenly becomes a heavy AI runtime environment, users expect to have a say in that architectural transition.
Exactly. And it sets a deeply concerning precedent. If Google can silently push a 4-gigabyte model today under the guise of a standard background update, what stops them from pushing a 10-gigabyte model next year when Gemini gets an upgrade? Where is the line between a legitimate background update, like patching a critical zero-day security vulnerability, and an unacceptable, non-consensual use of a user's disk space and bandwidth?
I think the line is exactly where the functionality shifts from essential for the browser to operate securely to an optional feature that not everyone wants or needs. Writing assistance and summarization are cool value-add features, but they aren't critical infrastructure for rendering HTML or running JavaScript.
It's also worth noting the sheer irony here. Google is pushing this under the banner of privacy, keeping your data on device so it doesn't have to leave your machine. But by doing it silently, they're triggering the exact same privacy alarms they're ostensibly trying to avoid. People see a massive, mysterious hidden file called weights.bin show up, and they immediately assume they're being spied on.
Transparency would have solved 90% of the backlash here. A simple splash screen on launch saying, "We've added new local AI features to keep your data private. Click here to download the necessary 4-gigabyte file," would have given users control and maintained trust. But by forcing it through the silent updater, they've turned what could have been a strong privacy selling point into a massive PR headache.
Moving on to our next story, we have a fantastic postmortem of a viral incident that perfectly encapsulates the current, slightly chaotic era of AI-assisted software development. A developer recently claimed on social media that an AI coding agent, specifically a workflow utilizing Cursor and Claude, deleted their company's production database.
It is the ultimate nightmare scenario, right? You hand the keys over to an autonomous AI agent, tell it to fix a bug or optimize a query, and it accidentally burns down the entire production environment. But Ibrahim Diallo published a really insightful and, frankly, necessary blog post on May 4th titled, "AI Didn't Delete Your Database, You Did," and he completely dismantles that viral narrative.
Diallo's core argument is that the AI was merely the mechanism of destruction. The root cause, the actual failure, was the existence of a public-facing API endpoint that was capable of executing a destructive command without any further validation, authentication checks, or safeguards.
Exactly. The AI agent didn't maliciously decide to drop the tables. It was given a broad task. It looked at the available tools and endpoints in the codebase, and it executed a command that the system implicitly told it was valid. As Diallo points out, AI agents are tools that execute commands without reasoning about the broader real-world consequences. They don't possess common sense or an innate understanding of business risk.
This touches on a growing trend in the industry that people are calling vibe coding. It's this workflow where developers rely heavily on AI to write, review, and even execute code, often without thoroughly understanding what the AI is actually doing under the hood. You just give it a prompt, the output looks plausible, the vibe feels right, and you push it straight to production.
And that workflow feels incredibly productive and magical, right up until it doesn't. When you're vibe coding, you're essentially abdicating your responsibility as a software engineer. The burden of safety and system integrity doesn't magically transfer to the LLM just because it wrote the function. If you expose a dangerous endpoint, whether it's triggered by a human typo or a confused AI agent trying to fulfill a vague prompt, the fault lies squarely with the system design.
It is a classic case of failing to implement poka-yoke, the manufacturing concept of mistake-proofing. In a robust, well-architected system, it shouldn't be technically possible to delete a production database with a single API call from an unverified source. There should be hard constraints, multi-factor confirmation steps, and strict role-based access controls isolating production data.
Diallo emphasizes that developers must maintain absolute accountability for the code they deploy. You can't just throw your hands up and say, "The AI did it. It's a black box." The AI is effectively a junior developer with infinite typing speed, access to all your files, and absolutely zero situational awareness. You would never give a day one intern unchecked access to drop production tables, so why would you give those credentials to an LLM?
What's really interesting is how this specific incident highlights the dangerous responsibility gap that AI tools are creating. These models are so capable, and they get the boilerplate right so often that it's easy to fall into a false sense of security. You start trusting the agent's output implicitly because it's been correct the last 99 times you used it. You stop reading the diffs carefully.
But that 100th time is the one that takes your company offline and deletes customer data. I think this story serves as a crucial industry-wide wake-up call for engineering teams. As we integrate more autonomous agents into our daily workflows, our guardrails actually need to be stronger, not weaker. We need to design systems assuming that the agent will eventually try to do something catastrophically stupid.
Right. You have to assume the agent is going to hallucinate a destructive command at some point. If your system architecture allows that hallucination to become a reality, that is an engineering failure. Full stop. The database deletion in this case was just the symptom. The underlying disease was a fundamental lack of basic safety engineering and access control.
All right, that's a sobering reminder to check your API endpoints. Let's shift gears and hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up today's episode.
Sounds good. We've got some interesting updates from the Rust ecosystem, a brilliant new educational resource for understanding AI, and a feature request that highlights the weird temporal isolation of modern language models. First up, a software engineer named Dion at Tweed Golf recently published a detailed blog series arguing that asynchronous Rust remains essentially stuck in a minimum viable product state.
Yeah, he points out some significant compiler-level bloat and highly inefficient state machine generation. He identifies specific issues like generated futures not being inlined by the compiler, async blocks without awaits still unnecessarily generating state machines, and identical states failing to collapse. He's actually submitted a formal project goal to the Rust compiler team to address these root cause optimizations.
It's a really notable critique because async Rust was designed to provide zero-cost abstractions for concurrent programming. But in practice, developers are dealing with complex lifetime requirements, function coloring issues, and serious binary bloat. It shows that while the feature is functional, there is still a massive amount of compiler-level engineering needed to fulfill that original promise for large-scale systems. Next, if you've ever wanted to build your own generative AI from the ground up, there's an excellent new GitHub repository from Angelos Paravolaropoulos called LLM from Scratch. It is a hands-on workshop specifically designed to teach users how to build a GPT-style language model in PyTorch.
What's really great about this project is the accessible scale. It focuses on a small 10 million parameter model that you can actually train on a standard laptop in under an hour. The curriculum covers everything from tokenization and model architecture, including transformer blocks and attention layers, to the training loop and text generation.
Inspired by Andrei Karpathy's NanoGPT, it's a perfect educational bridge. As AI becomes ubiquitous, it's vital for developers to move beyond just calling APIs and actually understand the complex mathematical and architectural reality of how these transformer-based models function under the hood.
Finally, there's a fascinating feature request on the Claude Code GitHub repository. Issue 56368 is formally asking for ambient session time awareness for both Claude Code and the chat side handoff.
The problem is that right now, because Claude Code runs these multi-hour autonomous coding sessions locally, it completely loses track of elapsed time. Users are finding they have to manually type things like, "It's 12:40 p.m., we are 6 hours into this session," just to give the model context for pacing or time-sensitive logging.
It really highlights the friction between the isolated, stateless environment these AI agents operate in and the real-world temporal context they need for complex engineering tasks. It will be very interesting to see how Anthropic balances the utility of giving the AI a persistent system clock against potential privacy concerns regarding the agent's awareness of the user's physical environment.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of the NoraCast Tech Briefing.
Thanks for joining us as we explored the silent spread of local AI models eating up our hard drives and the very real, very expensive dangers of vibe coding without a safety net.
If you found today's discussions helpful or thought-provoking, be sure to subscribe to the feed so you don't miss our next briefing.
We will be back soon with more deep dives into the technologies, the bugs, and the breakthroughs shaping our world. Until then, keep a close eye on your local storage, and please double-check those production API endpoints before you let an agent loose.